Lord, we give you thanks for our mothers. We are grateful that you chose to give us life through them and that they received the gift of life from your hands and gave it to us. Thank you for the sacrifices they made in carrying us and giving us birth.
We thank you for the women who raised us, who are our mothers in childhood, whether birth mom, adopted mom, foster mom, older sister, aunt, grandmother, stepmother, or someone else. We thank you for those women who held us and fed us, who cared for us and kissed away our pain. We pray that our lives may reflect the love they showed us and that they would be pleased to be called our moms.
We pray for older moms whose children are grown. Grant them joy and satisfaction for a job well done.
We pray for new moms experiencing changes they could not predict. Grant them rest and peace as they trust for you in the future.
We pray for pregnant women who will soon be moms. Grant them patience, rest, and good counsel in the coming months.
We pray for moms who enjoy financial abundance. Grant them time to share with their families and the ability to bless others.
We pray for moms who are raising their children in poverty. Grant them relief and justice and compassion. May we be the hands and feet of Jesus for them.
We pray for stepmoms. Grant them patience and understanding and love.
We pray for moms who are separate from their children. Grant them faith and hope.
We pray for special needs moms. Grant them patience, joy, rest, and endurance. May they know that they are worthy.
We pray for moms in marriages that are in crisis. Grant them support, refuge, and insight.
We pray for moms who have lost any children, whether they were older or younger, including miscarriage and infant loss. Grant them comfort in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
We pray for moms who are struggling with infertility. Grant them the knowledge of your presence in their lives and that you will never forsake them.
We pray for moms who have given the gift of their children for adoption. Grant them the peace and confidence as they trust in your providence.
We pray for adoptive mothers. Grant them joy and gratitude for the gift you have provided.
We pray for single moms who have the roles of both mother and father in their children's lives and who face the many demands of single parenthood. Grant them strength and wisdom. Grant them respite, rest, and comfort. May they know your friendship and find comfort in the rest they can only find in you.
We pray for girls and women who think about being moms. Grant them wisdom and discernment.
We pray for the women who do not have good relationships with their moms. Grant them healing and bring a healthy mother figure into their lives.
We pray for all women who have assumed the mother's role in a child's life, whether as a mentor, teacher, or friend. Grant them joy and the appreciation of others.
We pray for those who are grieving the loss of their mother in the past year, whether through death or a severed relationship. Grant them comfort and hope in Christ's resurrection.
Lord, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. We thank you for the many examples of faithful mothers in Scripture like Sarah, Hannah, Naomi, Elizabeth, and Lois. We thank you for the many examples of faithful women in our church today. We are mindful this day of all these women, and especially Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had the courage in faith to say yes to your calling. May these women gathered here today emulate these examples of faith, and may they model for all of the rest of us what it means to be your disciple. Bless them on this special day in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Wasn't that beautiful? I don't know, but it looks so beautiful here. It must be a special day. Look at all the beauty in the house of God. We want to wish all of our moms a blessed, happy Mother's Day. Can you help me, join me doing that? You know, when you go to a church that is a Bible-believing church that even has the name Bible in it, Mayfair Bible Church, that not only believes the Bible, but preaches the Bible and encourages those who hear the Bible preach to live out the Bible, you see the Bible lived out in the people. And you see God at work. And you see how in every situation of life, whether it be a triumph or a tragedy, whether it be a joy or a sorrow, God's grace is sufficient for those who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And now today, I want to ask you to open up your Bible with me in 1 Corinthians 11. I know many of you have heard many Mother's Day messages, but I guarantee you, you probably never heard one from this particular passage. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 11. And when you find that, if you're physically able, I'm going to ask you to stand for reverence of God's word. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 11, and also verse 12. We praise the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever, and he's blessed us beyond measure. He knows our tears. He knows our laughter. He knows what keeps us up at night. He knows what we need. And because he knows what we need, we ask him to talk to us and to meet that need according to that definition that he has of that need. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, wrote in verse 11, "Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from," say with me, "God." Would you pray with me? Father, we rejoice this morning. We rejoice with those parents who dedicated themselves to bring their children in the admonition of the Lord. And we thank you for the beauty of those children who are dedicated to you for your love and care and protection. May we be faithful in our responsibility to pray for them and to bring them up in a redemptive way, so that when everything settles, they've been in a place where the gospel has been preached and they'll be able to make a decision for you. Father, we know that your ability to speak is far greater than our ability to listen. And because of that, we ask you that you grant us ears to hear what your Spirit needs to say. And Lord, even the whisper of your voice may be foundational in this message. Lord, we ask you that you will take your word and make application as you explain to us what he says in this special day. Oh, Father, have your way. We know that the Bible says that you are everywhere. Make us aware of your presence right now in this place with the people of God and for the glory of God. And I ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. And God's people say, you may be seated. This morning, I want to talk to you about God's second most precious, second greatest gift to humanity. And I want you to think with me, because indeed, God has given humanity many, many wonderful gifts. In fact, when we think about it, we have to come to the conclusion that God's gifts are so many that they are innumerable. Are they not? Think about it when you got up this morning. The very breath that you breathe to sustain your life was given by God. The very breath that we use to praise God in this house today is a gift of God. This beautiful sunshine out there is a gift of God. Even the rain is a gift of God. Indeed, he gives us all things richly to enjoy. He gives us what we need. But keeping that in mind, I want to ask you, what is the one thing, think about it, what is the one thing that God has given every one of us without exception, without whom we couldn't be here? I'm giving you a second for you to digest that. The one person without whom you wouldn't be here. Say it with me, moms. If you think about it, moms is God's idea. And not only does he love you, mom, he likes you. And God's idea is perfect and good, even though we're not perfect and even though we're not always good. Amen? So this morning, I want to give you three reasons why I believe that moms are the second greatest and second most precious gift to humanity. Number one, from verse 12. Mothers, and I have to qualify this, not qualify it. Actually, I had written this before whatever is taking place in our society and world in which we live. So if somebody needs to apologize, they need to apologize to me. But I want to say this because I want you to know what I'm about to say is not a political statement. It is a biblical statement. So get ready. Mothers have been entrusted by God with the sanctity of human life. Mothers have been entrusted by God with the sanctity of human life. Look at verse 12. For as woman came from man, we're going to talk about that later, even so man comes through woman, but all things are from God. Now think about it. I had the privilege of being there when my wife was given birth three times. For three times, I thought it was going to be a boy. We never had... You know me already. We didn't want to know whether it was a boy or a girl. We just prayed, and I knew it was going to be a boy. It ended up being a girl. The second time, it had to be a boy, ended up being a girl. The third time is a charm, right? I knew it was going to be a boy, ended up being a girl. And I'm just so blessed that as a father, I have three wonderful daughters, some of whom are here today. Thank you so much for coming. But God knew my heart and said, don't worry, Angel. In a few years, you're going to have four grandchildren, and they're going to be grandsons. One, two, tres, cuatro. And finally, she is here today. Adeline, you have the baby? Please stand with the baby so they can meet Annalise for the first time. There she is right there. It may take 35 years, but you keep on praying. I'm here to tell you, if you had the privilege of being there, you have got to conclude that that is an amazing feat. You have got to conclude that what takes place in that womb is a miracle of God. I'm here to tell you, God in that womb, at that moment of conception, he stamps his very character and image in that person and gives that baby a new DNA, different than anybody, so that that is a human being. So that that is a person from whom Jesus died, the Father loved, and the Holy Spirit bears witness that God wants children to come to him. You know, we have a very creative God, don't we? We do. Just look at creation and laugh. Look how he does things. How amazingly beautiful they are. But I was thinking about this and I said, well, you know, the Lord could have done this any way he wanted because he's God and he doesn't need my permission to do anything he wants to do. He's God. And he could have been creative about it and he could have done this in a different way, in his infinite wisdom, instead of doing it any other way, God chose mothers to be the ones that bring the miracle of life to humanity. Think about it. What if God would have decided to make us like angels? Think about that. But no, he decided to bring the human race through motherhood. And I was thinking about it too, and I said, just imagine if God would have given man, instead of woman, the privilege and responsibility to give birth. Imagine that just for a second. What a problem that would be. I venture to say that if that would have been the case, the human race would have been extinct long, long, long ago. I'll say more on that later. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was called blessed among women. Why? She was entrusted with the miracle of the virgin birth and the incarnation. No greater testimony in eternity. I've been thinking about this a lot. Because when we get to heaven, the greatest testimony is not going to be Moses. The greatest testimony is not going to be Joshua. It's not going to be Elijah. It's not going to be King David. I think that when everything settles, the greatest testimony is going to be that of a woman who was obedient to God when God called upon her heart to bring baby Jesus into the world. I don't think that could possibly be taught. She was chosen by God to bring the Son of God by means of the Spirit of God to the world. That's just amazing. Number two, mothers do something that fathers cannot do. Look at verse 12b. Even so, man also comes through woman, but all things are from God. Now, I read that to you. You read it, you hear it, I hear it, and you come to the conclusion that that is common sense, right? A friend of mine told me that common sense is not common anymore. And I'm going to give you the golden rule for common sense. And here it is. When common sense makes sense, seek no other sense or you end up with nonsense. When common sense makes sense, seek no other sense or you end up with nonsense. But here it is in the revealed, inspired Word of God. It's clear. This is how it is. This is how God designed it. With simple words, the Apostle Paul is speaking here and saying, this is not about superiority. This is not about inferiority. This is actually about equality. He's simply saying we're equal but not identical. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free, male or female, for we're all one in Jesus Christ. I can see some of the fathers here. And I could hear in my mind what you're thinking. You're saying, Pastor Garcia, I'm not liking this already. I don't like it. I want you to know I contributed to the process. I want you to know I did play a part, Pastor Garcia. And I know those of you who are thinking that. And I want you to know that I know who you are, and I'll talk to you later. In my first pastorate in the state of Connecticut, I had a deacon. He is in Puerto Rico now. Maybe he's watching online. I don't know. But his name is Jose Rosario. And Jose Rosario, our deacon in Willimantic, Connecticut, on Mother's Day, do you know what he used to do? He used to go around congratulating every father, saying, Happy Mother's Day to you, Father. And everybody said, but it's Mother's Day. Why are you congratulating me? I said, because they wouldn't be mothers if it weren't for us. When you're married to a Puerto Rican woman, he's lucky to be alive. But let me illustrate this. Because you moms, God has chosen you and given you this privilege. And in you, the miracle of birth takes place, bringing image bearers of God into the world. There's a time when parents were not allowed to go into the maternity ward. Anybody lived through in that time? My dad was in that generation that he had to wait in the waiting room. You know what I'm talking about? I was blessed that I could be with my wife and be there in the moment of birth. But there was a generation that they did not allow the parents, the father, to go in the maternity room. He had to wait in the waiting room. So just for the sake of putting a name to this person, we're just going to call him Felipe. Can you say that with me? Felipe. Felipe was in the waiting room, waiting for his wife to give birth. How many of you know that sometimes this takes a little while? Right? It does. And he was so nervous because he didn't know what was taking place in that maternity room while he was in the waiting room. So he's like, oh, I wonder what's going on with my wife. I wonder if she's okay. I wonder how much pain she's in. I wonder if the baby's already been born. So every time the nurse walked by, is the baby come yet? The baby come yet? Is she here? Is he here? Can you tell me, is it a girl? Is it a boy? He was such a mess. He was a mess. And he did this for hours and hours and hours. And finally, the nurse came out and said, Mr. Felipe, your wife just gave birth to a beautiful baby girl. Immediately, Felipe fell to his knees and said, Father God, thank you that my daughter will never have to go through the agony and pain that I'm going through right now. See, we just don't get it, right? We just don't get it. Paul makes reference here to the creation. He makes reference to the fact that, yeah, woman came from man one time and one time only, and that was it. Notice, Adam was the first and last man that ever came close to giving birth. But notice that he needed what I call divine intervention. God had to put him to sleep. You read that in the Bible? God had to put him to sleep, which leads me to say, don't ever fall asleep in church. because Adam fell asleep, and when he woke up, he was married. He was. For those of you who are wondering, it was not a C-section, it was a size section. It was. But we men don't get it. I know it's common sense. It's God's design and order for woman's uniqueness. God uses them to bring us to the world, and that in itself, if nothing else, that in itself, the fact that God used them and chose them and gave them the privilege of the sanctity of the human life, of bringing us in the womb and creating us there, this is a miracle. That in itself is good enough reason for us to say, oh, Lord, you're great, and thank you, Mama, for bringing me to the world. I remember when Evelise, my firstborn, was born, I called my mom. See, she was in the waiting room. I was in the maternity room. They would not let my mom in there. This is back in the 80s. So as soon as the baby was born, I called my mom. Mom, I hope they let you in fast. But listen, I just didn't think it was possible. But after watching this, I think I love you a little bit more, Mama. Seriously, what a miracle. So I've given you two reasons so far. The last one I'm going to give you is more of a poem illustration. So I want you to keep that in mind, because the poem is not theologically correct, but the purpose of it is to give you an illustration, an idea. Okay, so I want you to understand that. Look in verse 11c and verse 12c. Mothers, I call this, are angels without wings. It says, in the Lord. But all things are from God, which means God planned it. He designed it. This is his design and purpose. This is how it is. Don't invent anything else, because this is how God made it. The phrases in the Lord and from God, that speaks of God's design and order. That is to say that God's creative purpose and design are determined by God. This is how he made it. And indeed, it is marvelous in our eyes. Now, you know my name, Angel. When I came from Puerto Rico, I was confused. People would read my name. They were looking for a girl. No, I'm here. I'm Angel. I was confused. So I learned quickly to understand that in the United States or North America, Angel could be a boy name and it could be a girl name. But in Spanish, it's only a boy name. In fact, I'm named after my dad. But if you meet me for the first time, and those of you who've met me already, you know what I say. I'm Angel, no wings, no halo. How many of you have heard me say that before? I want to make sure they know that. I don't want you to put me on a platform. I'm not an angel. Ask my wife after the service. But I want to submit to you that the real quote-unquote angels, because of God's design and creative purposes, the real angels without wings and the real angels without halos are the moms. Are the mothers. Let me just read this poetic conversation between a baby and God as God is getting ready to send this baby down to earth. Let me remind you, this is not theologically correct, just an illustration. It's called, you will simply call her mom. A baby asks God, they tell me you're sending me to earth tomorrow, but how am I going to live there being so small and helpless? God said, your angel will be waiting for you and will take care of you. The child further inquired, but tell me, here in heaven, I don't have to do anything but sing and smile and be happy. God said, your angel will sing for you and will also smile for you and you will feel your angel's love and be very happy. Again, the child asked, and how am I going to be able to understand when people talk to me if I don't know the language? God said, your angel will tell you the most beautiful and sweet words you will ever hear. And with much patience and care, your angel will teach you how to speak. And what am I going to do when I want to talk to you? God said, your angel will place your hands together and will teach you how to pray. And who will protect me? God said, your angel will defend you, and if it means risking his life. But I will always be sad. I will not see you anymore. God said, your angel will always talk to you about me and will teach you the way to come back to me, even though I will always be next to you. At that moment, there was much peace in heaven. But voices from earth could be heard, and the child hurriedly asked, God, if I'm to leave now, please tell me my angel's name. And God said, you will simply call her Mom. She's not perfect, I know that, but she's your mom. That's why we need to love, respect, and honor them. Angels without halo and without wings. When I was a child, my mom, who is in heaven now, used to tell us a story. And now that I'm old enough, I wonder why she told me the story, because it was pretty dramatic. And I heard it many times from my mom's lips. Later on, when I was reading books, I understood that the origin of this story comes all the way from India, but my mom learned it in the Dominican Republic. The story is told of a son who loved his beautiful mom, but his mom was in a wheelchair. She couldn't move and she needed care. But he wanted to marry this beautiful woman. But the bride said, if you want to prove your love to me, you have to prove to me that I have no other rivals in your life. You have to prove to me that you love me even more than what you love your mom. And he said, how could I possibly prove that to you? She said, if you really want to marry me, you have to bring me your mother's heart. Oh, what a blow that was. He loved his mom. He took care of his mom. He provided for his mom. But he really, really wanted to marry this beautiful girl. So in one moment of nonsense, in one moment of not thinking through, in one moment of not praying, he ran and took his mother's heart. And as he grabbed that heart and started running towards where the bride, future bride, was going to be, that beautiful girl that he wanted to marry, he stumbled and fell, and the heart fell. And from the heart, the voice of his mom came saying, did you hurt yourself, my son? Did you hurt yourself, my son? This morning, I'm going to ask you to think about this. I'm going to ask you to think about the miracle of birth. I'm going to ask you to think about the role that we play as parents, as members of the church, because you look around here and you see this beauty in unity, and because we're a Bible-believing church and the Bible is being lived out in a mighty way, you see those things that you see in the Bible actually being portrayed in the lives of people. You think about the first mother of all beings, Eve. She also had a son taken from her. And there's some here whose children have been taken from you. You think about ladies in the Bible who were barren and couldn't have children, but they prayed out to God, like Sarah, like Rebecca, like Rachel, like Hannah, like the wife of Manoah, whose son became Samson, the mighty strong man. You think about how God heard their prayers. You think about those who didn't have children at one moment in time, but were able to be there for those whose life had become bitter, like Naomi, who lost her two children and her husband, and said, God is giving up on me. I'm changing my name. No longer call me Naomi. Call me Mara, which means bitter. But there was a Ruth, a Moabitess, not even a Jewish girl, a Moabitess who was their daughter-in-law, and said, I'm not giving up on you. You may give up on yourself, but I'm not giving up on you. She didn't have any children at that time. And she said, go back to your people. I'm going back to my people because God has dealt with me so bitterly. And she said, don't ask me to leave you. I'm not leaving you. Don't ask me to leave you here, because where you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. And only death is going to be able to separate us. So I'm going with you. I'm here to tell you, church. I'm here to tell you, Mayfair, we need some Ruth in our day and time. Amen? We need some people that would cling on to other people that need us in that moment. Then you say, but Pastor Garcia, how about those who have chosen not to have children? But that's okay. It's perfectly okay, too. Think about Queen Esther. The Bible doesn't say that she had any children, but God placed it at the right time, at the proper place for such a moment as that. Maybe you need to pray for that moment. Maybe you need to pray for God to show you, what is it that you want for me to do? I think of many missionaries who have said, I'm going to dedicate myself to the service of my God in such and such a country. I'm going to dedicate myself to orphans in India. I'm going to dedicate myself to this place of lepers. And they've given up and sacrificed a lot so that they could be used by God as well. You go all the way to the New Testament and you see Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ. Then you see the mother of our Savior who was there. What a beautiful testimony. And you see even after Jesus was born, when he was brought to the temple to be dedicated like these parents did in a similar way, there was a lady named Hannah also, the daughter of Phanuel, who for 84 years was a widow, didn't have any children. But you know what she did? She gave herself to prayer and fasting for the people of Israel. Let me tell you, there's a great purpose for you. It doesn't always have to be actually being a mom. It could be helping those moms. It could be being that adoptive person that helps those other people. You could be that person that stands in the gap for that person that needs all the help. And I see that in every one of you moms here. I see the Bible being lived out. This morning, I kind of set you up. You know how? Because I started saying the second greatest, the second most precious, and I said that so many times, you're probably wondering, the inescapable question is, who then is the greatest gift to humanity? Who then is the most precious gift to humanity? And to those questions I say, I'm glad you asked. Because without a doubt, the Bible is clear that the greatest gift, the greatest love, and the greatest life was given in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you this morning, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is the greatest gift. Jesus is the most precious gift. And I'm here to tell you that you can make that decision today if you haven't yet. The Bible is clear. We all have sinned and we all fallen short of God's glory. And because of that, because we could not save ourselves, because we were dead in sin and trespasses, because we were helpless, God did what we could not do. God, in the person of his Son, paid the debt we could not pay. He became a baby. He grew up and died on the cross, for shedding his blood for the remission of our sins, so that whosoever, that means anyone, who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning, please. I want to pray. And as I pray, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Let's pray together. Father, behold what manner of love you have bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the children of God. And this morning, we thank you, for the Bible clearly teaches the sanctity of human life and how you needed us together, and you, in a miraculous way, made us in our mother's womb. I want to thank you for the beauty of motherhood. I want to thank you that they give of themselves and they sacrifice, and they show us their love day after day after day. I know there's not a perfect human being in the world. Only Jesus is perfect. But in spite of our imperfections, you love us and you care for us. Maybe there's someone watching right now who doesn't know you in a personal way. Maybe there's someone here today who hasn't made that decision of coming to Christ as Lord and Savior. and they've heard your word, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will move in their heart so that they will come and receive Christ. Lord, may your word touch their hearts, and may your word bring encouragement to those who are in need of encouragement. May those who find themselves bitter find a Ruth. May those who are praying for a baby, may you answer those prayers according to your purposes, for there's nothing impossible for you. You've written history through the wombs of barren women who ended up bringing great men and women of God to the world. Indeed, Lord, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And Lord, we come before you and we ask you that you will help us obey your command of honoring and respecting our parents, that you would lead us in the way we should go. I know there are many young people here who are listening to me right now, and they might just be called to a mission field, or they might just be called to self-sacrifice, or they might just be called here in our community to be the best teachers, to be the best workers that they can be. Whatever it is, Lord, make it known to us so that we could be obedient to your calling. We give you the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name.